Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a lot of it made over the weekend and last night. Well, there's a lot of places to start, but one disturbing event that shows Putin's desperation, actually two events. Over the weekend, the news came out that two oligarchs, Rusky oligarchs, wealthy thieves, oligarchs, and their families were murdered a day apart. Their wives and children were murdered, and they themselves died. It was staged to look like a murder-suicide. One of them occurred in Moscow, Russia. The other one occurred in Spain. And here are the facts. One of the people who died was Vladislav Ayayev. Vladislav Ayayev is a vice president of Gazprom Bank. That is one of the oligarch-type companies that was taken over by Putin and the Russian mafia after Boris Yeltsin stepped down, actually just prior to Boris Yeltsin stepping down. The other guy that died was Sergei Protasenya. Sergei Protasenya was killed in Spain. Vladislav Ayayev was killed in Moscow, Russia. Now, why do I say they were killed? Well, there's a couple of things. Just a couple. First of all, the coincidence of two oligarchs who may have been on the outs with Putin dying in murder-suicides a day apart and 2,000 miles apart between Moscow, Russia, and Spain is highly improbable. Secondly, Sergei Protasayev was found hanging. They say he hanged himself, the Russians do. His wife and daughter were stabbed to death. And Sergei Protasayev, there was a bloodstained knife and axe planted near him, and there were no bloodstains on him. The other guy, Vladislav Ayayev, was also killed. His wife and a daughter were killed. And each of these families had another child who wasn't there at the time who came to discover them. Not long before that, Putin had attacked oligarchs, unnamed oligarchs, abroad, he said, who attracted to go abroad, who were, quote, westernized and liked Western luxuries like foie gras and Chanel. As a result of that, a number of private jets owned by some oligarchs immediately left Moscow, Russia. And if they have a brain in their head, they're not going back. Apparently, Spain is not far enough away. You know, Putin was at the KGB for much of his career. It now has a new acronym, a new set of letters, but it's the same KGB. He was stationed in Germany, in East Germany, with the Stasi, S-T-A-S-I, the Stasi, with the German secret police. They were brutal. They turned on and tortured their own kind, their own German people, under the direction of Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's daughter was born in Germany when he was stationed there. He does not care about human life. He's a sociopath, a murderer. If you take a look at what he's doing in Ukraine, bombing civilians, torturing civilians, trying to demoralize them. Sociopath is a nice way to put it. He may be a psychopath. He may be a psychopath. But what he is doing now with oligarchs, back 20 years ago, there was an oligarch, the wealthiest guy in Russia, who had some common sense, and he announced he was running against Putin. He was immediately arrested for tax fraud, and he spent 10 years in jail. The other oligarchs 20 years ago went to Putin and said, what can we do to not have that happen to us? Because we want to keep a lot of our money. Putin said, you give me half of everything you got and I will protect you. And they did that. Every oligarch who goes on TV and says, well, we got to have peace in Ukraine, is lying. He's a thief. And he is beholden to Putin. Well, Putin is getting very, very paranoid. And so apparently these two oligarchs, Vladislav Ayayev and Sergei Porosenya, seemed wobbly to him. And he started to attack oligarchs who had gotten too used to their Western luxuries, as he put it, too Westernized. They like foie gras, Chanel, and they had their yachts and all this. And he's feeling besieged. And this is the way he handles it. He also poisoned a guy and his daughter in London. Remember that some years ago? This guy wrote a book that said the way Putin got to power was when Yeltsin was on his way out and Yeltsin had to decide who was going to succeed him, Putin had the KGB blow up apartment buildings in Moscow, Russia, and kill 300 people. Then Putin and the KGB said the Chechenian Muslims did it. And he asked Yeltsin to be able to go back into Chechnya and take retaliation, and he did. Prior to that, in the 1990s, they'd already gone into Chechnya, and they had eliminated the city of Grozny. And then everybody in Moscow, Russia, and everywhere else in Russia said, oh, well, we need a strong man, just temporarily, just temporarily. That's what the Germans said about Hitler in 1932. We need a strong man, just temporarily, just temporarily. That's what a lot of people in the Republican Party now saying about Trump. We need a strong man, just temporarily, just temporarily. We're Americans, we're free, we don't put up with that. But in any event, over in Moscow, Russia, they did, and then Putin got in and passed laws that said he could have power till 2036. 2036, that's 14 more years where he's gonna murder people. This was a hit against these two wobbly oligarchs. It was a hit by the Russian mafia. Russia's controlled by its mafia. Putin is the head of the Russian mafia. And they're fighting among themselves now because some of the Russian mafia are going, well, listen, we've stolen a lot of money. Life is good. I mean, we don't have to kill Ukrainians. What the heck? What the heck? That is the fight that's going on. But there's a more disturbing event that just occurred. Just now, it was reported. Just now, it was reported that there was a fire and a series of explosions in a Russian city, an oil depot in a Russian city, midway between Moscow and Kiev, well within Russian territory. Moscow is trying to make noises that Ukraine bombed it, and that Ukraine bombed a Russian city not even close to the Ukrainian border. This is what he did with Moscow 20 years ago. This is what he did. This is what he did with murdering the two oligarchs. This is what he did, poisoning the guy and his daughter in London. He also poisoned the guy, killed him in Berlin. So here are the facts. There is a Russian city called Bryansk, B-R-Y-A-N-S-K, halfway between Moscow, Russia, and Kyiv. There is no evidence of an attack at all by the Ukrainians or anyone else. No Ukrainian aircraft went near it or flew into Russian airspace, even though they're getting mercilessly bombed. But there were multiple explosions. Now, why would Putin do this? His prior murders had a motive, even though they were evil motives. The motive for bombing the apartment buildings in Moscow, Russia, 20 years ago, was so he could take power in Russia, blame it on the Chechenians, say, I just need complete power one more time to go back into Chechnya. And some people in Moscow still think, because it's the official line, that the bombings were by Chechnya and not by the KGB against their own kind, their own people. The poisoning of the guy and his daughter in London was because he had exposed Putin in a book for being the guy that bombed the apartment buildings in Moscow. But this is what's called a false flag operation. you remember Russia said that there were biological labs in Ukraine. They might have to go in and take them out. And if they did, there might be some leakage of chemicals. In other words, they were going to say that their chemical attack was caused by the Ukrainians. Well, this is a classic false flag operation. By false flag, they're going to try to make it look like Ukraine bombed an oil depot in Bryansk, well into Russian territory, so Russia simply has to retaliate. And you may say, well, they're already sort of, quote, retaliating, quote. I mean, they're bombing the heck out of the country. Yeah, but they haven't used tactical nuclear warheads yet. They haven't used chemical weapons yet on a large scale. They are reported to have used some chemical weapons in eastern Ukraine. Phosphorus, that is under investigation. But this may be a sign of desperation by Putin. He knows that the war is going badly for him. It's humiliating for, it's like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys losing to a high school team. And the May 9th celebrations coming up on the end of World War II, he's going to be humiliated. Stand by for the possible use of these weapons, and the United States had better respond very firmly. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. For a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna... Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a very disturbing revelation occurred over the weekend from a Russian general. Russian general named Rustam Minakayev, Rusky, part of the Nazi Rusky army, invading Ukraine, killing people. And he disclosed, and we had suspected this. I'd said this on the show before, and I wasn't alone. This was deeply suspected that they are going to invade Moldova right after Ukraine. Lukashenko, the Russian puppet, the president of Belarus, who orchestrated an election where he got 90% of the vote. People who tried to vote that weren't approved were arrested. Lukashenko in Belarus is an example of how Russia acquired a neighboring country just through violence and fraud and putting in a puppet. And that's what Putin wants to do in Ukraine. Well, Moldova is just to the west of Ukraine and just bordering on NATO countries. So it borders Ukraine and NATO countries. And what they are doing this for is to create a land corridor from Crimea to Odessa to Moldova and landlock what remains of Ukraine after they saw off the eastern part. Now, you may think, all right, Matt, that's all geographic stuff. It's kind of abstruse, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, it's not. Here's the deal. Ukraine is one of the premier exporters of wheat in the world. It feeds a lot of Africa. Feeds a lot of Asia. The Ukrainians are highly trained technologically. They had a number of tech companies that were the suppliers to the West. It's a European country, Ukraine, Kiev. And I've not had the pleasure of being in Kiev, but I've been in other Eastern European cities, Prague, Bratislava, Budapest. A lot of these places, Bucharest, a lot of these places are beautiful and terrific and quintessentially European, free. And Russia is trying to spread its cancer. It had been communism. Now it's Nazism, but it's ultimately Russian organized crime to pervert and corrupt another country. And the Moldovans are not in NATO. They're not in the EU. And they are right next to Ukraine. And why is he doing this? He's doing this because there is a little territory Moldova called Transnistria. I doubt you've ever heard it. Some of you may have heard it. Because it's a fake, it doesn't exist. There's a little bunch of Russian speakers there, kind of like the Donbass, the eastern part of Ukraine. And Russia just, quote, liberated, end quote, them by fiat from Moscow and called them a new country, Transnistria. I mean, it would literally be like Mexico saying, all right, New Mexico is part of Mexico. You know, now, there's a disparity in military power there, but it's really what happened here. Putin did it in Georgia. I'm not talking about Atlanta, Georgia. Once again, the country of Georgia. It designated a fake republic of a handful of Russian speakers. They've done it in eastern Ukraine, two of them. And they just carve out little pockets of people. And they were very embarrassed because the Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine said, we don't want to be carved out. And they're fighting Russia, even though they're ethnically Russian and speak Russian even harder. No, I shouldn't say even harder, but the same as Ukrainians. Anyway, what General Rustan Minakayev was saying is that their objective, they took Crimea in 2014. They went into the Donbass and they have been killing people for 8 years since 2014. Now they've invaded Ukraine. They were beaten in Kyiv. They drew back. They come around. And they're trying to slice off the part of Ukraine that borders on the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. And if they succeed, what's going to happen is Ukraine is going to be kind of a stump, an amputated stump with no ports. And it's very, very hard to have a vibrant economy with no ports. There are very few countries in the world that have no ports. I shouldn't say very few. There are some. But the fact is Ukraine has ports on the Sea of Azov and the Black Sea, and it won't have any at all after this. Any products they make will have to be shipped by rail into Poland and then up and through Poland to their ports up in the Baltic. You know, that can't be permitted to happen for a lot of reasons. The main reason is if Russia gets away with this, they'll lie in the weeds for 6 months or a year, and then they'll go back into Kyiv and they'll launch another, and then they'll launch another attack, and then the rest of Ukraine will fall, and you will have a client state like Belarus. They'll do the same in Moldova. They're going to do the same the rest of Georgia. And then they have their eyes on Finland and Sweden. And they have their eyes on Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. I got to say something. I'm tired of the Republican Party for a lot of reasons. But here's a major reason. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran. And both parties used to be opposed to Russian communism. We stood up to the Ruskies. We like the Russian people. Very fine people. I've been to Russia. But Russian communism is a cancer. It's a cancer, just like Nazism, Stalin and Hitler were peas in a pod. So what's happening now in the Republican Party, Ron Johnson, the senator from this state, went to Moscow, Russia on 4th of July in 2018, 4th of July, to have secret meetings. Where's the transcript? What were they about? What, the clown can't stay in Wisconsin? Marching the 4th of July parade, at least in Baltonville. You know where Baltonville is? It's a little town, a little unincorporated thing that's between Keewaskum and Random Lake. Why do I know it? Because my family lived around there. All right, not Baltonville. Why don't you march in the 4th of July parade in Racine? I have. Or in Warsaw. Okay, or in Milwaukee. Why are you in Moscow, Russia on the 4th of July sticking a knife in our country? Why did six members of Congress vote against sanctioning Russia or even opposing Russia for the Ukraine invasion? Why? Yeah, okay, you can say it's Paul Gosar and Massey of Kentucky. You have six cancer cells. You have more than that. You have 140 cancer cells in the Republican caucus. They're the ones who voted to not certify Joe Biden as president and give the election to Trump, even though he lost. That's Russian communist cancer. That's what it is. It is about time we had an American Congress. And there are people on the far left, the Islamo left, who people don't like and I don't like, and I'm tired of what they do. But let's start with the real threat right now. The real threat is Ron Johnson going to Moscow on 4th of July, 4 years ago, having secret meetings. The real threat is Donald Trump being funded by the Ruskies, funded by them, given a lot of money sustaining his properties over decades. And we elected this guy president of the United States, and he was on the take from the Ruskies. He was on the take from the commie Ruskies. That's what he was. What happened to the Republican Party? Is anybody listening out there? Is there maybe a Republican? Is there any Republican out there who thinks Putin is evil? Isn't going to kind of attack me on Hunter Biden and Hillary. Just keep quiet. Is Putin evil? Is he evil? Yes, he is. Do we want an American Congress that isn't representing the Ruskies? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And are we going to stick up for Ukraine and NATO and our Eastern European allies? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And these animals on the extreme right of the Republican Party who are tearing down Biden and everybody else are tearing down the United States. You don't attack a wartime president when we're trying to stand up to the Ruskies. We're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And give me something to believe in, yeah.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to come back to Wisconsin, and an event happened right after our show on Friday. Tim Michaels, he's the owner, co-owner of a construction company, filed to run for governor on Friday as a Republican. And he's apparently going to be running ads starting this week. 59 years old. He ran once before, long, long time ago. I don't know, 15 years ago for the Senate, and was unsuccessful. He was unsuccessful back then. I think it was against Russ Feingold. In any event, why am I even raising this? Why am I raising this? Because I have a deep concern that the Republican Party has tilted so far to the fascist right that if one of their candidates from the fascist right ever got into office in Wisconsin, it would quite literally destroy the Fighting Bob La Follette legacy, cleanliness in government, free and fair elections, and the peaceful transition of power. I think it's important that Tim Michaels win the nomination on the Republican side as a hedge, as an insurance bet. If he runs against Tony Evers, I think Tony Evers would win. But if it were a tsunami year, a hurricane year that swept Republicans into power all over the country, and I hope it's not, I don't think it will be, but you never know. 2010 was a hurricane year for Republicans. 1994 was a hurricane year for Republicans. 1958 was a hurricane year for Democrats. So this kind of thing goes on and on. But if one of the present three Republicans ever got in, Rebecca Clayfish, Kevin Nicholson, Tim Rathman. Tim Rathman is pro-QAnon. This guy is the one that put in, and he's in the legislature right now. He put in a bill to overturn the last election. This guy, over a year ago, Biden wins by 7 million votes. He wins by something like 35 electoral votes. And this clown disgraces us in the state by introducing that kind of a bill. That kind of a bill. The clown will not get in, the QAnon clown, but that's an example. Nicholson, Kevin Nicholson, is a guy who is a Democrat up until not too long ago, and he wasn't just a Democrat. He was the president of the Young Democrats nationally, and he spoke at a Democratic nominating convention, blasted the heck out of the Republican Party. Goes back to Wisconsin, sniffs around, wants to run for office, realizes he can't get a nomination in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party, he switches. He just flat out switches. And he starts saying the same things about the Democratic Party he used to say recently about the Republican Party. How bad is that? I mean, that's cold. That is flat out cold. This guy's not going to get elected. So what will happen is Rebecca Clayfish would get nominated, the Duchess of Foxconn, cheerleader for Foxconn under Scott Walker. If she is the nominee, I think Evers would beat her handily for a couple of reasons. One of them is when you run for governor, it's not just political. You're going to have a budget that not too distant future will be bumping up under $100 billion in not too many years from now. Is this the person who's going to manage that kind of budget? Forget politics, forget ideology. Is this somebody who can manage what would be a monster corporation nationally? And no, no one believes that she can. They won't believe that she's going to be doing anything. Her donors, handlers, and the Republican leadership nationally would administer. It'll be like a regency. They will administer. And what's a regency? Regency is in a monarchy when the king dies, the queen dies, and their heir is a kid. You have some trusted advisor or some aristocrat who runs the government for a while till the kid turns 18, which is a joke in and of itself. I mean, how many 18-year-olds do you want running a country? However, it would be very similar to a regency. You'd have somebody who would be placed in the back seat of a drop-top Cadillac with a plastic tiara and do a pageant wave at parades. That's all she'd do. Did all she'd do. The heavy lifting, the money part of it, would be taken over by the National Republican Party or a couple of hacks here in Wisconsin who would pretend to be that, you know, the bosses and that kind of thing. So what do we do? Do we stand by and say, okay, well, she can be nominated because she'll lose? Yeah, she probably will lose. But what if she doesn't lose? What if the Duchess of Foxconn under Walker gave a Chinese company $4 billion? They promised them that. We're out $1 billion, and they end up with the primest piece of industrial real estate in Wisconsin, halfway between Mitchell Field and O'Hare, right near Lake Michigan. And they're blocking everybody. They're not only not doing anything, they're blocking everybody else from using it. Intel wanted to put in a high-wage plant with 1,000 jobs. They blocked them. Oshkosh Corporation, high-wage plant to make post office vehicles, electric post office vehicles. Foxconn said, well, we're going to make, and then electric vehicles, and they didn't. It's a Chinese joint, and they're just waiting out the statute of limitations on fraud. And this administration settled with them and gave them $80 million to get out of our obligation to give them $4 billion for having cheated us. What's going on? Do not let the Republicans back in there. If they don't steal your money themselves, they will enable their donors to take it. Going to the lines, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. Great topic. You know, on the election coming up for governor, all of that, we've got to remember, if these guys get in, our country has had a history of over 200 years of democracy. It's over. It's over. I'm not kidding. Nobody will realize this until these clowns are all in. They're counting the votes. They're jerry-rigging this. They're pushing money here. They're making deals behind our backs, closed debates. They close doors. Everything's behind doors. They don't want you to know. That's what rests in the wake of the election. So I'm just telling people, if you care about 200 years of democracy, vote them out. Thanks.
Bill, that was beautiful, succinct, very, very true. What Bill's alluding to, I mean, some of these things, for instance, take Gableman. At our expense, he's going around supposedly investigating an election in secret, at our expense. If it's our expense, it shouldn't be in secret. That should be against the law. Wait a minute, it is against the law. We have open records, and we also, which they blew off and destroyed their records, and it also, the ability of the legislature to subpoena people is contingent on subpoenaing them in public in front of the assembly committee who wants to talk to them in public so the media can show up and the media can report what happened. Gableman is threatening people with jail for not coming to a secret office in Brookfield, Wisconsin to be interrogated by him in secret with no media there. And he's paying fees out of your pocket to defend that. And now what he's also doing is he ran out of work because there was no fraud. There've been several audits. So what he's doing is investigating the backgrounds of poll workers and people working in elections. And he came up with one woman in the Milwaukee area who he said, quote, she's obviously a Democrat. She has a nose ring. She dyes her hair. She plays video games and she likes snakes. I'm not kidding. That is what he said. Well, first of all, what business is it of his how she chooses to groom herself, frankly, or what she chooses to do, or what music she listens to, or whether she dyes her hair? Trump dyes his hair. Okay, I don't hear him attacking Trump. I don't hear him attacking anybody. But the other thing is, poll workers frequently vote themselves. They should. And if they vote, they're going to vote Democratic or Republican. The beauty of our system that Bill of Econimwalk was alluding to is 200 years of democracy, is you have fair people who have their preferences. They do vote, but they administer the election scrupulously and with honesty, and they agree to the peaceful transfer of power. That has gone out the window with the Republican Party. Not only have they been penetrated by Russia, not only did Ron Johnson go to Moscow, Russia, on 4th of July in 2018 for secret meetings, not only that, but and not only is Trump funded by them, not only will Trump pull us out of NATO and continue to attack the EU to benefit Putin if he gets in as president again, but they're running hundreds of people in elections around the country. They're going to have control over elections. And state law differs on that. There are some places where election commissions at the city and county level are elected. There are some in every state, either the attorney general or the secretary of state has some influence, and obviously the governor has influence. And the Republican Party has fielded hundreds of candidates around the country who have flat out said that they will take over the counting of the votes. There is a bill circulating, and it's been introduced in Arizona, and it's you've heard of ALEC, the acronym of this crowd that they draft this legislation and they send it out to the Republican Party in every state, and they say try to get this passed, as if they're zombies. You know, okay, yeah, just put your okay. Don't put Nebraska or Illinois. Yeah, put Wisconsin. But one of these bills is that the legislature will pick the electors for president, not in an election. There is an argument, I'm not going to get into all the constitutional law, although I enjoy it myself. There is an argument going back to the drafting of the Constitution that that is constitutional, because back when George Washington was elected and our Constitution had been drafted, there was no presidential election. Everybody knew it was going to be George Washington. Everybody knew. And up for the next 20 years or more, people got together in each state, legislators, and they knew who could run the country. And at that time, the British were attacking us, this one and that was attacking us. Well, then they started to have presidential elections. We've had those for 200 years almost, actually 200 years. They want to roll that back to 1788. And the problem is our legislatures now are not like the legislatures in 1788. They're gerrymandered and they are very, very partisan. They will just automatically pick the Republican president. And in your lifetime, you won't get to vote for president. That is what is happening. Remember Stalin's dictum, doesn't matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. And they are running crooks to count the votes. That is what's happening in Wisconsin and all around the country, all around the country. Be very, very careful, very, very careful about this corruption of our democracy. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let's have a little good news. Little good news. And this is a bill that was introduced in the Tennessee legislature. And there aren't many bills in the Tennessee legislature that I think are a great idea and that I would espouse. But this one is an excellent bill. And what is it? It is a bill that says that drunk drivers who kill people have to support their children till they're 21. You have these horrible, horrible stories of a young couple is out for dinner. They're killed by a drunk driver, and they have two or three young kids at home. And yes, those children, you know, their guardians can hire a plaintiff's lawyer and get a settlement. But sometimes people don't have enough insurance, and then they go bankrupt. They are destitute. And also, there's no disincentive to drunk drive, to drive while drinking, I should say. Well, in Tennessee, it's a very clever idea. And why is it clever? Because if you're a drunk driver and you kill parents, or you kill a single mom and she has little kids at home, that kind of thing, it's going to be as if in family court, you are going to pay child support till 21. And what that means is that's very different from a settlement with plaintiff's lawyers, because your child support obligations are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. There's a famous case, and it was a Milwaukee bankruptcy judge whom I know, who put in the decision where a guy had to pay child support and he declared bankruptcy. And up until then, that worked. And she said, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. You cannot declare bankruptcy to avoid child support obligations. And the guy was on the hook. Well, if this is denominated as child support, first of all, they can garnish your wages, and they will. Secondly, they can attach assets. And then you have essentially government lawyers and resources, not just private plaintiff's attorneys who may lose interest in a case if they don't see a deep pocket on the other side. And that guy, and the drunk driver, any job he has, he's getting himself garnished. And those garnishments, depending on the number of kids involved, can be very, very high. And his assets, they're going to be frozen, and they are going to be levied on. And if he hides his assets or lies about his employment, he's going to jail. That's a criminal offense. So I think it's a very good idea. Very, very good idea. There's too much drunk driving. We were the only state that didn't make it a criminal offense on the first conviction. You pick up the paper, you guys are in their seventh. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're fifth, they're fourth, they're sixth. Guys driving drunk. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. I know in Europe, for instance, they have designated drivers. You go out to a party. One of you is not going to drink at all, and he's going to be the driver. And then they all sit around in a room with the other designated drivers. They drink soda and they play cards. And you may say, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. Well, let me tell you. My wife and I have friends in Dublin, Ireland, and we go there from time to time. I like Ireland very much. And we were there. We went to go out to dinner with these people, these friends. They drove there and they came out and they said, all right, we're going to take a cab home. And I said, what do you mean? Your car is right there. They said, there's no way. If you in Europe are caught driving drunk, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail for at least a year. So they took a cab home. Then the next day they took a cab back to pick up their cars. Now, the easiest way to do it is with a designated driver. We got to crack down on drunk driving. I mean, you pick up the paper and these guys that have had multiple events, people are killed, people are paralyzed. No way. So what they're doing in Tennessee is drunk drivers are going to pay the victim's children child support. Child support usually ends at 21, roughly. You can claim 18, but, you know, let's say 21, put that in the statute. And automatically their wages are garnished, and there's an attachment lien on their assets. And they can't transfer them. They can't get no monkey business. That, to me, believe it or not, you think that there's a morality issue here about not killing people. That, to me, would be one of the really great sanctions against it. One of the great sanctions against it. Well, let's go from Tennessee back to Europe. This is an unwelcome development. Doesn't surprise me. Austria just announced that it opposes EU status, European Union status for Ukraine. Austria. Now, there's something like 28 countries in the EU. Strike that. I think there are 32 countries in the EU, roughly, and roughly 28 in NATO. In other words, there are some countries that are in the EU and not NATO, like Austria, and there's some in NATO and not the EU, like Britain, United Kingdom, England. I don't want to get into all the politics of it, but Austria claims it is neutral, like Sweden and Finland. And unlike Sweden and Finland, Finland has a border with Russia, and Sweden is vulnerable from the Arctic Ocean. Austria is tucked safely into Europe, does not have a border with Russia, and they're piggybacking on the defense of the NATO countries and not contributing. And now they're going so far as to say that they will vote against EU status, European Union status for Ukraine. That's fatal because unanimity, there has to be 100% agreement of all European Union countries to bring somebody in. The benefit of being in the European Union is there are no tariffs on your goods being sent back and forth, and there's movement of people. So anybody in the EU can go anywhere they want and work and travel. If you're in London, you can go to Madrid and get a job and travel. You don't need a passport. You don't need anything. It's like going from Milwaukee to Tennessee. The idea behind offering Ukraine EU status was to support them against the Ruskies. It's not NATO, but economically it would help Ukraine. The Ukrainian people are terrific people. They could then travel into Europe instead of sniffing around for visas and that kind of thing. What do we do with Austria? And by the way, Switzerland, which is not in the EU and also is not in NATO, claims it's neutral. They have blocked the supply of ammunition to Ukraine of anything that was constructed in Switzerland, and some of Swiss ammunition is used in German tanks that were going to be sent to Ukraine. Well, here's Biden's challenge. You want to keep unanimity in NATO and the EU and in Europe, but I'll tell you what, you know, Austria is a problem. Austria, remember back during the Second World War, the Anschluss, when the Nazis went in, they were greeted with people waving flowers. They wanted to be acquired by Germany. Austria is selfish. They are doing this. It's hurting European unanimity. What I would do privately is have some of the bigger countries in the EU, and I'm talking about France, Germany, and frankly, the US is not in the EU, but we're the big kahuna, and say, look, Jack, if you don't do it, yes, we need unanimity, but all the rest of the states are going to get rid of tariffs with Ukraine. All the rest of the states are going to permit free access of Ukrainian people into their countries, and you're isolated. And the fact that you don't let them in Austria, and the fact that you won't drop tariffs, you are a pipsqueak compared to the rest of Europe and the United States. We got to get tough with these people. The Austrians, they have a very, very rigid right-wing government now, and we can't permit ourselves to be led around by the nose. They are destabilizing unanimity in Europe. Switzerland is as well. There are ways of cracking down on them. They're basically a place to park money, make chocolate and cuckoo clocks. And we've got to crack down on these people. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.